RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Hello, listener. Welcome back to English Bulletin over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we'll present to you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by commentary, Today in History, Focus, and News in Brief. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news. First, the headlines. Indonesian President Joko Widodo award blood donors hitting 100 donations. Celebrating the 60th anniversary of diplomatic relations, Indonesia and Japan agreed to work and move forward together. Now the news in detail. Indonesian President Joko Widodo awarded Satya Lencana Kebaktian Social Award, a prestigious honor, to blood donors in Bogor State Palace, West Java on Sunday, December 17. The award is given to donors hitting 100 donation milestone. President Joko Widodo expressed his gratitude to the donors who have donated blood more than 100 times. He believes that those donors are worthy to be called as a hero of humanity. Those who have donated blood 100 times, President said, have done it for at least 25 years or in a long period. In that span of 25 years, President Joko Widodo continues, the donors have donated at least 30 liters of blood. It means the donors have saved more than 150 lives. Indonesia Red Cross head Ginanjar Kartasasmita said that 857 donors are eligible to receive the award. They are from 22 provinces. Ginanjar said the highest number of those donors come from East Java with 334 people. January 20, 2018 will be special for both Indonesia and Japan as both countries will celebrate their 60 years of diplomatic relations. On the 60th anniversary of diplomatic relations, Indonesia and Japan agreed to raise a theme, Working Together, Moving Forward Together. Director General of Asia Pacific and Africa, the Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs, Desra Percaya, said in a press statement on Sunday, December 17, in Jakarta, that the two countries' cooperation, which began on January 20, 1958, and marked by the signing of a peace agreement between Indonesia and Japan, has been well established in various sectors until nowadays. Desra mentioned there are at least two special agenda accommodated by the Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs on the 60th anniversary of Indonesia-Japan diplomatic relations, among others, the Indonesia-Japan commemorative stamps, which will be launched by the end of January 2018.
Serta kegiatan turat-menyurat sejumlah daerah di Indonesia.
As well as the correspondence activities in a number of regions in Indonesia with elementary and junior high school students in Japanese cities that have sister city cooperation in the first quarter 2018.
Meanwhile, in the last few years, bilateral relations of the two countries have increased significantly. In the investment field, Japan is the second largest investor and one of Indonesia's main trading partners. Japanese Ambassador in Jakarta Masafumi Ishii said that for Japan, the commitment to have better cooperation with Indonesia has been reflected in the major theme to be carried out in 2018, Working Together, Moving Forward Together. The 60th anniversary of Indonesia-Japan diplomatic relations in 2018 is an important and appropriate time to encourage bilateral relations between the two countries, including in the field of infrastructure, which is also the topic of discussion in bilateral meetings between President Joko Widodo and Prime Minister Shinzo Abe on the sidelines of ASEAN summit meetings in Manila, Philippines on November 12, 2017. A Sukhoi fighter jet belonging to the Indonesian Air Forces has successfully tested locally manufactured P-250 live bombs. Four bombs weighing 250 kilograms each were successfully dropped on targeted points at the Pandanwangi Air Weapon Range, or AWR, in Lumajang Regency, East Java, recently. It is hoped the successful testing of bombs jointly developed by the Air Force's Research and Development Agency, Dislitbang, and weapon manufacturer Sari Bahari will make Indonesia more independent in supplying its Strategic Primary Weaponry Defense System, or Alutsista. Air Commander Samsul Rizal, the commander of East Wahyudi Air Force Base in Madiun, East Java, to journalists in Magetan recently, said that the bombs are produced purely by the nation's children. This achievement can be used to fulfill the weaponry system needs for Sukhoi aircraft owned by the Air Force, Sari Bahari President Director Ricky Hendrik Egam said. The P-250 bombs had been integrated with Sukhoi's computerized system so that when they were dropped from a heat level of 2,000 meters, they would fall precisely on the targeted points. Ricky said Sari Bahari could produce around 250 to 300 units of P-250 live bombs per month. Indonesian Minister of Transportation Budi Karya Sumadi encourages all airlines to offer a special ticket rate to increase of foreign tourist visit after the eruption of Mount Agung in Karangasem, Bali. As reported by Antara, Minister Budi Karya Sumadi in Yogyakarta on Sunday, December 17, said that the special tariff is realized through programs that attract foreign tourists to various tourism destinations in Indonesia, such as Jakarta, Yogyakarta, Bandung, and Bali, so that the tourist potential on the weekend could be more leveraged. Minister Budi Karya Sumadi acknowledged that the eruption of Gunung Agung influenced the visits of foreign tourists, especially to Bali. Vice Regent of Simalungun North Sumatra, Amran Sinaga, hoped that the visit of 48 Asian and African ambassadors to Parapat Simalungun Regency on Saturday has a positive impact for the development of Lake Toba tourism. Amran Sinaga in Parapat on Sunday, December 17, also hoped that the ambassadors will become tourism ambassadors to introduce Lake Toba, especially Parapat, with its natural beauty to foreign countries, providing inputs to foreign investors to invest so as to help increase the economy of the local people. As reported by Antara, ambassadors with delegations from Malaysia, Sarawak, and Singapore took the opportunity to visit Parapat during the tourism-based Lake Toba Geopark Summit Forum, Innovative Challenge and New Economy, which took place on December 15 to 17, 2017, in Medan. This news comes to you from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. The Indonesian mining company Adaro Energy, in cooperating with Thailand to supply coal to meet the energy needs of the country's power plants. The business cooperation was conducted by Adaro Energy President Director Giribaldi Tohir, witnessed by Indonesian Ambassador to Thailand Ahmad Rusti in Bangkok on Sunday, December 17. As quoted by Republica Online, the business deal becomes strategic because Thailand is one of the countries that import coal from Adaro. Thailand supplies coal to meet the needs of the country's state-owned power plant, Electricity Generating Authority of Thailand. The last item, Indonesian police have recaptured a U.S. citizen who escaped a week ago from an overcrowded prison on the holiday island of Bali, the jail's second breakout of foreign inmates this year. Christian Beasley from California was rearrested on Sunday, December 17. Bandung Police Chief Judith Satria Hananta said, without providing further details. Beasley was a suspect in crimes related to narcotics but had not been sentenced when he escaped from Krobokan prison in Bali last week. The 32-year-old is believed to have cut through bars in the ceiling of his cell before scaling a perimeter wall of the prison in an area being refurbished. The Krobokan prison, about 10 km or 6 miles from the main tourist beaches in Kuta area, often hold foreigners facing drug-related charges. Representatives of Beasley could not immediately be reached for comment. Krobokan has housed a number of well-known foreign drug convicts, including Australian Skepel Corby, whose 12 and 11-year sentence for marijuana smuggling got huge media attention. To end the news, here are the headlines once again. Indonesian President Joko Widodo award blood donors hitting 100 donations. Celebrating the 60th anniversary of diplomatic relations, Indonesia and Japan agreed to work and move forward together. That was the news.
Hello, listener. Nice to be with you again in our regular program commentary. The title of today's commentary is Earthquake in Java Island and Social Solidarity. On Friday, December 15, 2017, at midnight, an earthquake measuring 7.3 on the Richter scale occurred in the southern coast of West Java, Central Java, East Java, and Yogyakarta Special 33. A few moments later, the Meteorology, Climatology, and Geophysics Agency, BNKG, even announced the warning of potential tsunami. People living in the southern coast of West Java, Central Java, Yogyakarta, and part of East Java had indeed begun panic by the warning. Thanks God, on Saturday morning, the BMKG re-announced that the status of tsunami early warning was over. Although the tsunami did not occur, the earthquake in the southern coast of Java had undoubtedly led to damage to homes and buildings and the loss of some lives. Based on interim data on Sunday afternoon, the impact of the earthquake caused 4 people died, 11 people were seriously injured, and 25 people slightly injured. More than 2,900 houses were damaged in West Java, Central Java, and Yogyakarta Special 33. In addition, the earthquake also caused damage to school buildings, places of worship, office buildings, and hospitals. The government, along with National Disaster Mitigation Agency, BNPB, Ministry of Social Affairs, and the local authorities have coordinated in overcoming the impact of this earthquake. Logistical assistance from the agency is provided to areas that have established emergency response situations. Nevertheless, a helping hand from the people of Indonesia as a form of social solidarity is needed. Indonesia is a nation that is known to be very concerned about the suffering of others. The people and the government of Indonesia, for example, helped the Rohingya refugees by sending logistical support to Bangladesh. Likewise, in the event of disaster, whether natural or man-made disaster such as war, anywhere in the world, the people of Indonesia do not hesitate to extend assistance. Like in Palestine, in the complete area, Indonesia even built a hospital in addition to providing daily necessities. Now, with the occurrence of the earthquakes in West Java, Central Java, and Yogyakarta, it is natural for the people of Indonesia to help their brother and sister who are suffering after the earthquake. This is the time to sow a sense of social awareness and solidarity among fellow Indonesians. As the saying goes, charity begins at home. Well, listener, that was commentary read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Today in history, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
This is Ada Reward Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, with Today in History, a regular segment which brings back people and events from this date in the past as recorded in history. Let's begin with 1973, the Islamic Development Bank is founded. The Islamic Development Bank, IDB, is a multilateral development financing institution located in Jeddah, Saudi Arabia. It was founded in 1973 by the finance ministers at the first organization of the Islamic Conference, now called the Organization of Islamic Cooperation, with the support of the King of Saudi Arabia at that time, Faisal, and began its activities on October 20, 1975. There are 56 shareholding member states. The present membership of the bank consists of 56 countries. The basic condition for membership is that the prospective member country should be a member of the Organization of Islamic Cooperation, OIC, pay its contribution to the capital of the bank, and be willing to accept such terms and conditions as may be decided upon by the IDB Board of Governors. Major shareholders include Saudi Arabia, Libya, Iran, Egypt, Turkey, United Arab Emirates, Kuwait, Pakistan, Algeria, and Indonesia. The IDB is an observer at the United Nations General Assembly. Over now to 2006, the first of a series of floods strikes Malaysia. The death toll of all flooding is at least 118, with over 400,000 people displaced. The 2006-2007 Southeast Asian floods were a series of floods that mostly affected Malaysia from December 18, 2006 to January 13, 2007. The floods were caused by above average rainfall, which was attributed to Typhoon Uthor, which had hit the Philippines and Vietnam a few days earlier. By the third week of January 2007, Johor had been affected by a larger flood. Singapore and certain parts of Indonesia were flooded due to the same typhoon. Throughout the week starting December 18, 2006, a series of floods hit several Malaysian states. Along with Singapore, they experienced abnormally high rainfall, which resulted in massive floods, where the officials described the flooding as the worst in the area in a century. Last is 1990. International Migrants Day is adopted by the UN General Assembly. The International Migrants Day is an international day observed on December 18th as International Migrants Day, appointed by the General Assembly of United Nations on December 4, 2000, taking into account the large and increasing number of migrants in the world. On December 18, 1990, the General Assembly adopted the International Convention on the Protection of the Rights of Migrant Workers and Members of Their Families. Well, that was Today in History. Over Voice of Indonesia, I'm Anna Trijayakasi.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, with Focus. The theme of today's Focus is Indonesia and Chile remove bilateral trade barriers. The governments of Indonesia and Chile officially signed the Indonesia-Chile Comprehensive Economic Partnership Agreement, signed by Indonesian Minister of Trade Enggartia Stolz Lukita and Chilean Foreign Minister Geraldo Munros in the city of Santiago, Chile on Thursday, December the 14th. The agreement eliminates the tariff on domestic products for nearly 90% of Chile's total tariff lines. Trade Minister Enggartia Stolz Lukita in Santiago said the agreement was a milestone in the bilateral relationship between the two countries and could boost Indonesia-Chile trade.
He said it abolished the import duty tariff of Chile to 0% against Chile's more than 7,000 tariff posts, or covering 94.5% of Indonesia's export value to the country by 2016. Meanwhile, Director General of International Trade Negotiations, Iman Pambagio, added, Chile is one of the countries that have the most trade agreements in the world. Therefore, the government is targeting it as a hub for Indonesian products to be exported to other countries in Latin America. According to Pambagio, in addition to removing import duties for a number of products, Indonesia Comprehensive Economic Cooperation Agreement with Chile also regulates the rules of origin and customs procedures aimed at simplifying and harmonizing customs procedures. In the first to third quarter of 2017, the value of Indonesia-Chile trade reached almost $220 million, an increase of 27% over the same period in the previous year. Indonesia's main export products to Chile include footwear, machinery, clothing, knitwear clothing and accessories, also electrical machinery, rubber, soap, vehicles, and animal and vegetable oils. As for Indonesian product that received a significant tariff reduction in the Comprehensive Economic Cooperation Agreement of Indonesia and Chile, such as automotive, footwear, furniture, jewelry, palm oil and its derivatives, paper, textile, textile products, fishery products, coffee, tea, biofuels, and military equipment. While that was focused today on Indonesia and Chile remove bilateral trade barriers. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with news in brief. Indonesian President Joko Widodo awarded Satya Lencana Kebaktian Social Award, a prestigious honor to blood donors in Bogor State Palace, West Java on Sunday, December 17. The award is given to donors hitting 100 donation milestone. January 20, 2018 will be a special for both Indonesia and Japan, as both countries will celebrate their 60 years of diplomatic relations. On the 60th anniversary of diplomatic relations, Indonesia and Japan agreed to raise a theme, Working Together, Moving Forward Together. A Sukhoi fighter jet belonging to the Indonesian Air Force has successfully tested locally manufactured P-250 live bombs. Four bombs weighing 250 kilograms each were successfully dropped on targeted points at the Pandanwangi Air Weapon Range in Lumajang Regency, East Java, recently. Indonesian Minister of Transportation Budi Karya Sumadi encourages all airlines to offer a special ticket rate to increase a foreign tourist visit after the eruption of Mount Agung in Karangasem, Bali. Vice Regent of Simalungun, North Sumatra, Amran Sinaga, hope that the visit of 48 Asian and African ambassadors to Parapat, Simalungun Regency on Saturday, December 16, has a positive impact for the development of Lake Toba tourism. The Indonesian mining company Adaro Energy, in cooperating with Thailand to supply coal to meet the energy needs of the country's power plants. Indonesian police have recaptured a U.S. citizen who escaped a week ago from an overcrowded prison on the holiday island of Bali, the jail's second breakout of foreign inmates this year. Christian Besley from California was rearrested on Sunday, December 17. Listener, that was news in brief.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
You're still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, broadcasting to the frequencies of 9525 kHz, 11.785 kHz, and 15.150 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Here is our next program, Indonesian Wonder, and let's speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Let's Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listener, welcome to Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary arts, fine arts, and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will introduce you to Pisan Island in Lampung. Stay tuned. Listener, Lampung province is the most southern province in Sumatra Island. There are many cultural tourism attractions and festivals to be held in this province annually. This province also has beautiful natural tourism attraction. One of them is Pisang Island, located at the Sea of Indian Ocean west of Lampung province. Listener, Pisang Island is standing in the middle of Indian Ocean and includes into Pisang Island Sub-District West Coast Regency. To visit this island, the visitor will take time about 1 hour from Kuala Port in Krui City West Coast or from Tembakak Village and will take shorter time about 15 to 20 minutes by taking Jukung or engine boat. Ferry schedule to Pisang Island start from 7 a.m. until 2 p.m. with a cost 15,000 rupiah per person. If we miss the ferry, we still can go to Pisang Island by renting a boat with a cost about 500,000 rupiah for a round trip. It will be better for you to make a bargain before renting a boat. Listener, Pisang Island is still very natural and unpolluted. Therefore, this is a perfect island for you who want to enjoy beautiful and quiet beach. You can also enjoy the exotic underwater attraction. If you are lucky, you can see dolphins hunting tuna fish. In this island, you can do beach activities such as fishing, swimming, diving, and many others. Listener, in this island, there are some guest houses with costs up to 350,000 rupiah per night, or you can rent homestay with cost 100,000 rupiah per night. The facilities in this island are very complete, such as restaurant, mosque, and many others. Well, listener, that was Indonesian Wonder with a topic about Pisang Island of Lampung. I'm Nyoka Kusumawati. We'll meet again with another interesting topic in Indonesian Wonder. Sampai jumpa.
To speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly, we present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language on the radio, which introduces some Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to use them in a conversation. Today's topic is bangun tidur, or in English, wake up. Stay tuned. F-
First, I'll introduce some Indonesian vocabulary and idioms to you related to the topic today. I'll say each word twice and slowly. You can follow after me. Bangun in English, to wake up. Jam berapa? Jam berapa in English, what time? Biasanya? Biasanya in English, usually. Jam tujuh. Jam tujuh in English, 7 o'clock. Pagi. Pagi in English, morning. Tidur. Tidur in English, to sleep. Tidak tentu. Tidak tentu in English, unregularly. Hari Senin. Hari Senin in English, Monday. Hari Jumat. Hari Jumat in English, Friday. Jam 12. Jam 12 in English, 12 o'clock. Akhir pekan. Akhir pekan in English, weekend. Jam 2. Jam 2 in English, 2 o'clock. Jam 3. Jam 3 in English, 3 o'clock. Terlalu malam. Terlalu malam in English, too late. Next is a conversation about bangun tidur, or in English, wake up. As usually, I'll say every sentence slowly twice and you can follow after me. The conversation is between Dewi and Doni at the office. Dewi. Doni, kamu biasanya bangun jam berapa? Doni, kamu biasanya bangun jam berapa? In English, Doni, what time do you usually wake up? Doni. Saya biasanya bangun jam 7 pagi. Saya biasanya bangun jam 7 pagi. In English, I usually wake up at 7 o'clock. Dewi, kamu tidur jam berapa? Kamu tidur jam berapa? In English, at what time do you go to sleep? Doni, tidak tentu. Tidak tentu. In English, not certainly. Dewi, hari Senin sampai hari Jumat, saya biasa tidur jam 12 malam. Hari Senin sampai hari Jumat, saya biasa tidur jam 12 malam. In English, on Monday to Friday, I usually go to sleep at 12 p.m. Doni, di akhir pekan kamu tidur jam berapa? Di akhir pekan kamu tidur jam berapa? In English, how about on the weekend? Dewi, di akhir pekan saya biasa tidur jam 2 atau jam 3 pagi. Di akhir pekan saya biasa tidur jam 2 atau jam 3 pagi. In English, I usually go to sleep at 2 or 3 o'clock on the weekend. Doni, kamu tidurnya terlalu malam. Pantas saja kamu tidak bisa bangun pagi. Kamu tidurnya terlalu malam. Pantas saja kamu tidak bisa bangun pagi. In English, you are too late going to sleep. That's why you cannot wake up earlier. Listener, that was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language on the radio. Until tomorrow with other topics, sampai jumpa. Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia. Hello, listener of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back to the regular Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian music, either traditional or modern one. In today's edition, we will present Kroncong songs by Indonesian female singers. Well, listener, let's listen to the first song entitled Alam Kenangan by Sundari Sukoco. Happy listening.
Thank you.
just listened to the song Alam Kenangan Paisun dari Sukoco, composed by Abdul Ghani and Uchin Nur Hashin. The song tells about broken heart memory. The lyrics of the song tells about someone who remembers a beautiful memory in the past. Despite the time goes by, it seems that the memory of love remains unforgettable. Well, listener, the next song we will present to you entitled Usah Kau Harap, composed by Charles Hutagalung, which tells about a broken relationship because the beloved girl or man has an affair. However, she or he wants to come back then. The hurt person does not want to go back and hope to forget all the memories in the past. Listener, let's listen to the next song entitled Usah Kau Harap by Hetikus Endang.
Oh,
was the song Usah Kau Harap by Hetikus Endang. The next keroncong song entitled Bukannya Aku Takut. The song was previously popularized by Indonesian pop singer Mulan Jamila. The song then dedicated in keroncong version by Iin Indriani. The last song we will present entitled Kerinduan. As the name implies, this song talks about pain of love. Well, listener, to conclude our segment for today, let's listen to the last two songs entitled Bukannya Aku Takut by Iin Indriani and Kerinduan by Mamik Marsudi. Happy listening, sampai jumpa. Thank you.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Dirimu sayang. This is the sweetest place, burying my feelings. I'm welcoming an eye into the darkest one. It tells me not to worry, for the time is yet to come for someone to arrive and heal the troubled one. Suddenly the rain falls, showering a desert storm. Wash away these tears of yesterday. I hear a sound of a raising chorus, sung by the angels and the broken heroes. I won't go back now, I feel so right. I found a place where dreams and life become one and finally I don't.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz. 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.